last year. The case is Coy versus Iowa, and a citation is in my written presentation. I believe you also have copies of the case. That case involved an Iowa statute which permitted child witnesses to testify either by one-way closed-circuit television or from behind a screen placed so that the child could not see the defendant. The statute did not require any judicial findings of potential harm to the child, and none were made in that case. By a 6-2 vote, in an opinion written by Justice Scalia, with Justice Kennedy not participating, the court concluded that the use of the screen in that case had violated the defendant's Confrontation Clause rights. In its opinion, the court noted, however, that it had, and this is a quote, in the past indicated that rights conferred by the Confrontation Clause are not absolute and may give way to other important interests. The state of Iowa in that case had argued that the need to protect child witnesses was such an important interest. The court pointed out, however, that there had not been those individualized findings of the need to protect these particular witnesses, and it left for another day the question of whether any exceptions of this nature could exist. Two of the six justices, Justice O'Connor and Justice White, who had joined that six-vote majority, also wrote separately to address this point further. And in a concurring opinion by Justice O'Connor, pointed out first that these statutes, and this includes Senate Bill 516, frequently do not even raise Confrontation Clause issues because they permit the defendant to be in the same room in many cases with the child witness while the testimony is being given. Even in those cases where the witness and the defendant are separated, however, Justices O'Connor and White concluded that if the court makes a case-specific finding of necessity, the Confrontation Clause may give way to the compelling state interest of protecting child witnesses. Justices Blackmun and Rehnquist dissented in the Coy case, and these two justices would have held that the Iowa statute satisfied the Confrontation Clause even without case-specific findings of harm, so long as the defendant was given full rights to cross-examine, which they regarded as the key to the Confrontation Clause. Where does this leave us with Senate Bill 516? Well, as Justice O'Connor's concurrence points out, the bulk of Senate Bill 516 is not affected. In the ordinary case, the bill would permit face-to-face confrontation, just not in the courtroom setting. The Confrontation Clause does not give the defendant any right to have courtroom spectators or even the jury confront the victim face-to-face, just the defendant. As I mentioned earlier, Senate Bill 516 would, however, permit testimony out of the presence of the defendant in some cases. It would require a specific finding that the defendant's presence would contribute to the likelihood of severe emotional or psychological harm. This is the point on which four of the justices in Coy chose not to express any opinion, but at least four justices did express the opinion that this procedure would satisfy the Confrontation Clause. Although Justice Kennedy did not participate in the case, and it's not clear how he would vote, I have been informed that at a recent national conference discussing the Coy case, scholars who are familiar with Justice Kennedy's writings and record in other cases believe that he would agree with the O'Connor position expressed in her concurrence. It's impossible to predict with any certainty how the United States Supreme Court, of course, would rule on a bill like this one. And we also cannot predict, as we discussed earlier, how the Oregon Supreme Court would rule. The Oregon Supreme Court has followed U.S. Supreme Court reasoning in past Confrontation Clause cases, but they have not considered the use of techniques such as these. One thing is clear, however, neither the United States Supreme Court nor the Oregon Supreme Court has in any way ruled out the use of these techniques, and at least four justices on the U.S. Supreme Court believe they are permissible. Given the potential harm to child witnesses that can result under present law, of which you've heard very moving testimony earlier today, we urge your support for this bill. Be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you. Senator Shoemaker.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. Why do you think you need both 275 and 516?
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, I think we've heard testimony today that under Senate Bill 275, if the witness is competent to testify, that bill would require the child to testify, even though it would also permit use of the hearsay earlier report. We've heard, however, that the normal courtroom setting can be extremely traumatic. A 3.5-year-old may be able to testify in a calm setting that's removed from the formality and the spectators in the courtroom. And I think to protect the defendant's rights, if the Senate Bill 275 procedure is adopted, We would want the witness to testify, but we want to reduce the amount of the hostility of the setting and the threat to the child, and that is what Senate Bill 516 would do.
I guess my question is, why not go with just 516?
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, Senate Bill 516 would satisfy the situation in which the child is, in fact, able to testify and give a full account. In many cases, however, that will not be the case. The child, either because of the hostility of the situation, or because of memory, or simply because of very youthful age, will not be able to testify or will not be able to testify completely. Senate Bill 275 would permit the first spontaneous expressions and any later expressions of the child's report of the situation to be introduced, and then if the child is available to testify, the child could do so as well.
Why not a combination that would require, in addition to the investigator's report, would require that the child either testify in person or on camera in some fashion? In other words, exclude the possibility of the child not being there at all, either in person or on camera?
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, the difficulty with that, and that would be possible in many cases, but there will be some cases where the child simply is not competent as a witness.
Madam Chair?
Senator Grinsky, we're going to have a chance to get her back on this.
Right, I just wanted to say that both Senator Shoemaker and myself have been summoned to a labor committee that started about 10 minutes ago. I want to apologize to the witnesses who would like to testify. We are, I'm going to have, we're supposed to leave, and I'm leaving now.
Yeah, I'm going to really want to, we do have to stop, and before we lose a quorum, and introduce some committee bills.
Hey, one question in.
Well, we're going to have them back, and you'll have your question in before the committee bills. Well, they, Jack. Bills for introductions, LC 1824, LC 3599, LC 3600, that are brought to us by the Criminal Justice Council. LC 3491, requester is the Oregon Association of Legal Investigators. LC 3629 is requested by the Oregon Catholic Conference, Ecumenical Ministries, Seventh-day Adventist, Oregon Independent College Association. LC 3672 modifies the provision, is requested by the Judicial Department. LC 3747, which deals with investigating child abuse, the requesters are Senator Cohen and Brenneman on this one, and LC 3748 is requested by Wes Smith, dealing with driving privileges of 18 to 20-year-old drivers. Are there objections to us introducing these as committee bills? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you very much. I'm going to try as best I can. Can we do the 10th? Cory, we're proposing to continue to reschedule for people that are in the audience who have not had a chance to sign up on 276 and 516, that we would propose to take this issue up again on March 10th, which is a week from Friday. A week from Friday, for those of you who have signed up and didn't get a chance to testify. Now, I'd like to, Senator Brenneman has a question. Those of us can stay another minute or two, and I would like to take anyone who's come from a distance, who wants to speak, who doesn't think they can come back on the 10th. And at least we can get you up and have your testimony for the record and for written testimony to be presented. Candy has a question, wants to come up, I know. She's raised her hand.
I can get my question in later.
Okay, your question's coming later. Okay, first hand I saw was Candy. Come on up. Introduce yourself for the record. And for the moment, we will, and for the people from the Criminal Justice Council here on their bill, we'll take it up Wednesday. Your name for the record.
Madam Chairman, my name is Candy Bartel, and I wish to express the fact that Senate Bills 276 and Senate Bill 516. I'm very much in favor of them passing. I speak from personal experience, both of my sons being sexually abused by their natural father. And I would like to speak to the statute of limitations, which is Bill 276. The sexual abuse began with my older son, who is now 14, when he was 2 years old and continued for a number of years. He was under such intimidation that he dare not speak for not only his death, but also he for the likelihood that the rest of the family would be killed. He did not speak until it was too late. The statute of limitations as it is presently had expired, and he had such severe traumatization that he could not deal with it because he wasn't able to get help, that he started smoking and he started being on drugs, which are varieties of examples of ways that he was trying to cope. When it finally was revealed, his dad has not been charged because the statute of limitations has expired. And I really think it's a crime. I absolutely know from the evaluation team that evaluated my ex-husband that they don't stop without treatment and they don't stop without being accountable. And this would make people accountable. I frankly think that the statute of limitations should be the same as murder. You know, just people are afraid to talk about it. My younger son told me that he's so ashamed that he doesn't know how to express it, and he doesn't really want people to know because it's so difficult for him to deal with. Senate Bill 516 regarding the videotaping. As expressed, they really need to have the intimidation diminished. And going to a courtroom and testifying, particularly in front of the perpetrator, adds additional trauma that sometimes is more than... I'm at a lack of words just because this is very upsetting. I'm very much in favor of you passing both of them, and I'm glad to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Candy. We will, if we have people who have questions, we'll get back to you. Someone in the back? Come on up. Bring your or come up on your own.
I'm Candy Cole, and I feel that the statute of limitations should be extended because it shouldn't matter when the crime happened, but that it happened and it should be dealt with. If you don't deal with it now, there's a very good chance that he or she will commit the same crime again. Why should it be dealt with later and most likely hurt more people when it can be dealt with now and save a lot of hurt? Maybe the victims didn't say anything for a while, maybe a long while, but it shouldn't matter because the statute ran out. That doesn't mean a crime should go unpunished or that it didn't happen. It doesn't matter when the crime occurred, why have a time limit that only puts pressure on the victim to know the statute? Some victims don't even know there is a statute. Why does the victim have to suffer for something that he or she didn't do? By doing that, you are more or less letting the perpetrator get away scot-free and punishing the victim. In some cases, the courts hold off the trial until the statute runs out, and all that does is reduce the perpetrator's sentence. Why do all that when you can save money and time by dealing with a crime when it comes out instead of having to bring the perpetrator back on another crime and letting him or her get away with the first one? Being a being a victim myself, I can understand why. I can't understand why you can let him think it's okay to do something wrong. He's still going. My victim, or my offender, is still going to the same school, and he can easily do it again, and nobody's doing anything about it just because the statute ran out. Any questions?
Thank you for coming here. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Shelley, do you have anything further to add?
Well, just being the mother of three daughters that were raped by a neighborhood boy and dealing with the statute of limitations has really endowed me with an intimate knowledge of how hard it is and that we need an extension of this. It's very hard for minors to come out and state what's happened to them, but if it's because of feeling threatened, if it's overt or implied, the pattern exists that in minors that it's a hard thing for them to talk about and tell. And they do feel at times that it's their fault. And my three have to deal with the individual daily. And it's been real hard. And it's because the statute's run out, and I would really like to see this bill passed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Other questions? Thank you very much. Someone else, someone in the back row first, and then I will get to you in the first row. And I would say to the people in the audience, what we'll ask is that we get the minutes of the meeting of the testimony typed up so that we can pass it around to committee members who are absent so that they can share the benefit of your testimony. And we will make sure that if you have testimony in writing, that will get passed around to people. Thank you. Your name, please.
Madam Chair, Senators, my name is Sandy Wilson, and I've come from Portland to testify today. I would like to say that I am in favor of the passage of all three of these bills. I would like to speak in particular to Senate Bill 276. My daughter was abused by her stepfather, and she was not in any emotional state to prosecute him. Now, when she is able to do that, the statute has run out. And he continues to work in a position in a large public school district where he has access to many, many young girls. And I firmly believe that since he has moved from our home 4 years ago, he has had many other victims. And it's too late for our family to be saved from this trauma, but I am here to speak because I wish other people to be saved from this. And I hope that you will help by passing these bills. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. Ken.
My name is Ken Clock, and I thought I had signed up for to speak to 275. So, my apologies.
Yeah, that's fine. We just finally got you on the list, and I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I won't hold it against you.
Good.
I guess it would be best if I just expressed my sentiments as I look at this, because I have mixed feelings, and I guess I would make a statement something like this. I fear for the abused child, and I fear for the innocent accused of abuse, and I fear for neither at the exclusion of the other. That the law needs to be able to land with heavy feet on those found guilty of child abuse is hardly a debatable point. I'm not a lawyer, and I'll not attempt to interpret the details of the proposed legislation. However, I would like to point out that a large shadow looms over the accused, and I know from personal experience about what I'm speaking. And none looms larger than the prospect that the justice system checks and balances are not operating in that county or in that courtroom. The proposed legislation absolutely requires that the system checks and balances be in perfect working order in every county and in every courtroom, or the truth will never be found. The proposed legislation would, in my opinion, allow too much left at the discretion of the court, invite collusion between state agencies and their contracted agents and or the DA's office, and it would promote fabricated or falsified or partially falsified reports by agents of the state. And these are my fears, and they're very real fears. I've been there, and I've seen some of this happen, and I would be more than anxious if I was put in that situation and this was allowed to become evidence, a report to become evidence that was based on an agency of the state that made the report. They may be making the report for various reasons. It may indeed be the case that they are making the report and being very accurate about their report, and they may not be so accurate about their report. It may not be a minute-by-minute report. It may be something that was done 2 or 3 days after the event occurred. It may be done weeks after the event occurred. So you're relying on the recollections of an adult who may have more than one objective in mind. In any case, it's a very real concern, and I hope you take that into consideration as you look at this legislation.
Are you and I appreciate the fact you're talking primarily at the moment about 275.
Right.
What about 516 and 276? If you'd like to comment on those two, you're welcome to, and we'll invite you back for the other hearings if you'd like to. But
I'm not sure I'm capable of, okay, of commenting on those at this time. I'm just relatively
you're interested, and your comments are directed at least at the moment for Senate Bill 275.
Right. And I couldn't speak specifically to the others, and like I said, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just speaking from personal experience.
Thank you very much for coming, Ken. So there was someone else who had their hand up. Go ahead, please.
Madam Cohen, my name is Susan Connor, and I'd like to talk about the statute of limitations bill. Having gone through the frustrations of the legal process with my own son, I'm aware that changes in our laws are necessary if we want to have justice in more of these cases. For us, the system that was supposed to help created more problems and contributed to my son's extreme emotional disturbance, which resulted in him shooting his offender. I feel that his case is an example of how extremely devastating sexual abuse can be to a young person's life. I want to explain his case and how these new bills made into law could have helped. My son's perpetrator was a U.S. Forest Service employee who worked with youth on trail maintenance crews, and he also was a former Boy Scout leader who had been molesting boys for over 20 years. He was diagnosed as a high-profile homosexual, predatory homosexual pedophile. It was estimated that he had probably molested over 200 boys in his life. If there had not been this present statute of limitations law, he would have been convicted before he ever met my son. And our family could have been spared this tragedy. The police had early information on him, but unfortunately, they could not act on it. He had been dismissed from Scouts in 1980, but he met my son in 1984. According to child abuse specialists, many children do not tell about their abuse until years later when they are older and more able to deal with the issues and the consequences of telling what happened to them. Most child abusers intimidate their victims. But by then, it's often too late to file criminal charges. And these abusers go free. This law has been very harmful to our children. I feel that with the proposed changes in the laws, we could have had a stronger case, and we could have gone to trial and won, and it would have resulted in a more meaningful sentence. Our district attorney had a list of 10 victims, but only two were within the statute of limitations. Consequently, a plea bargain arrangement was made for a lesser charge, and he ended up receiving only 20 days in jail to be served at his convenience over 60 days. This sentencing was not adequate considering all the lives he had ruined and what Lewis and my son had gone through to get him convicted. It was mentioned at the sentencing that the three out of four of the counselors that examined him considered him to be unremorseful and untreatable. A psychologist at the Deschutes County Mental Health Department recommended that he only be treated as an inpatient at the Oregon State Hospital because they considered him to be a danger to the community. We must improve our laws in order to keep people like this man away from our children. We must do everything to help our children in our court system. Hearsay evidence should be allowed in young children, I believe. The closed-circuit TV or videotapes should be used. Many never make it to court because some victims are unable to testify in court and fail and face their abusers. I would like to quote a statement that my son made to me at the police station 2 hours after he shot his perpetrator. "Mom, what Ed Dyer did to me was worse than death, and I know he will never be able to ruin another kid's life. I don't care what happens to me." Shouldn't us adults be the ones that make sure that these guys don't keep ruining more kids' lives? Ruth was afraid of this guy. This man had called our house and promised that he would return and be over to our house when he turned 18. I do not want any other family to have to go through what we have gone through. Our family is still suffering emotionally and financially. I feel that if these bills are passed, we will be making tremendous strides in helping to protect our children. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. We'll make sure that the other committee members get your testimony.
Okay.
Thank you. One more person who has not testified, way in the back, and then we're going to close off the hearing because the other individual who had their hand up had already had an opportunity at least once.
My name is Joan Tricosta, and I'm here from Portland. And I'm in favor of all the bills, particularly 516. My case is over now, but I still remember all the trauma and the difficulty we had before, and it would have made it a lot easier for my daughter if she could have used a videotape. The day of the trial, because we were going to the trial, she was so scared, I was right at the point of not taking her to court because the child was so scared. She knew her father abused me physically. He sexually abused her. She did not want to see him, and she was scared to death. And I could remember running through my head, if only there was something that someone could do so this child would not have to face him. And that she didn't have to, because he pleaded no contest. But I'm here because of other mothers and parents who have to go through the same thing we do. And I really feel strongly that these bills need to be passed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We will, the 10th?